Workman, Mabel White. Paradise Valley Sanitarium, National City, California, November 25, 1907. Mrs. W. Workman, Tacoma Park, Washington. My dear granddaughter, you must excuse my delay in replying to your letter. I have had to read and answer many important letters since receiving yours. Doris has returned to St. Helena, which leaves me without a copyist, unless I call on Mr. Chrysler to do the work. I am reluctant to do this, as this would call him off from his important work of completing the collection he is making relating to the work in the southern field. This November has been the most beautiful month I can recall to mind for this season of the year. The mornings and evenings have been a little cool, but agreeable. The air is perfect. Someday there has been a strong wind. But you know what the climate is like, for you have lived here. We might have held camp meetings all this month. The weather has been so beautiful. While at Loma Linda we had one thunderstorm, and for several hours a strong wind blew. I was taken through the rain in a rolling chair to the place of meeting. Last night I had a strange experience. I seemed to be in the company of several persons. I had something of value in my hands, which I desired to keep. But some were trying to get it from me. I would partially let my treasure go, and then forbiddings would come telling me not to do so. Three times it was wrested from me, but finally I recovered it and held it fast. I would not let it go. Today, Monday, we expect to hold a council to consider what shall be done with the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. Your father will be here, and several will assemble from different points to make a thorough examination of the business matters relating to the institution. I must keep my mind clear that no mistakes may be made. Last Sabbath I spoke for 1 hour at the church at San Diego. The Lord gave me freedom. No one left the house during the service, and all listened intently. I spoke from the 15th chapter of John and the first verse, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." I was surprised that I could speak with such strength and that I had such clearness of mind. I feel very grateful to God that He still gives me a testimony to bear to His people. I see a great deal to be done in Southern California. The towns of Redlands and Riverside need special help. The Lord may give me His word for them. If He lays any portion of the work on me, I hope I shall not leave the field until I have done what He desires. Sometimes I think I am too weak to speak to the people, but when I stand upon my feet, I find that my voice is clear and strong. I praise the Lord for this. We were a little late one morning in starting for the early morning meeting. I took your father's arm and walked down the two long flights of stairs and up the ascent to the meeting place. I kept step with your father as we went. I could not keep from thanking God for the strength which enabled me to do this without any inconvenience. I kept saying, "The blessing of the Lord is upon me. My heart doth rejoice, and my lips shall speak of His great goodness and tell of His power. Praise His holy name." On the 26th day of this month, I shall be 80 years old. All I want in this world is to do my appointed work. I do not worry. Come life or death, I am at peace with God. Here is the patience of the saints, the Apostle John writes. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat upon the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Revelation 14, verse 12 to 20. These are solemn words. When the storm of God's wrath breaks upon the world, there will be terrible revelations made to those who have built their house upon the sand. Oh, that our people would arouse and put away all weakness of the flesh and spirit. It was for this fallen world that Christ wept and prayed. The heart of infinite love was stirred as he saw souls being ensnared and selling themselves for worldly gain. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness! No man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 34. This chapter is full of encouragement and help to the follower of Christ. We find everywhere those who need just this instruction. If we do not come into right relation to God while claiming to be his children, our influence will be misleading. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Matthew 7, verse 17. Our spiritual conflicts might often be called our spiritual rebellions. It is the heart's lack of submission to the will of God that so often brings us into difficulty. We want our own way, but this often means rebellion against God's way. We need to do as Christ did, wrestle with the Father in prayer for strength and for power to make him known in our words and actions. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned so within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say unto the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee? or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. But that thou mayest know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. But when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Mark 2, verse 1 to 12, Matthew 9, verse 8. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Alphaeus, the son of Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners came also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto them, How is it that he eateth with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mark 2, verse 13 to 17. Never, never distrust your Savior. Take your trials and perplexities to Him. Christ came to call the sinners, not the righteous, to repentance. If you feel yourself a sinner, you are one whom Christ came to save. Christ placed Himself where He could, by word and work, become a minister of healing and blessing to the sick. His example is to be prayerfully followed by His servants. Instead of devoting their time to hovering over the churches, they should be bearing a continual message to those who have not heard the truth. Christ, the sin-pardoning Savior, was a wellspring of life wherever He was. In relieving the sick and the suffering, He was fulfilling His mission to men. The church on earth is to practice His virtues. Church members are first to be converted to obedience to His commandments. Then, as obedient children, they will minister of their abundance to the suffering and the needy. There will be an example given of true Christian self-denial and self-sacrifice. The time now devoted to pride of dress and love of the world will be given to the uplifting of humanity. There are souls perishing in ignorance of the truth. When God's Word is presented in simple faith, Christ will make the Word effectual.